I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, and you're listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business. My guest today is Dina Dwyer Owens. Dina's held multiple titles over her career, but currently serves as board member and brand ambassador of the Dwyer Group, a billion-dollar organization with more than 3,200 franchisees around the world. America also knows her for appearing on the CBS reality show Undercover Boss and as a motivational speaker and author, most recently with her book Values, Inc. Commercial real estate expert Greg Gleim is in studio for our monthly segment called What's Happening Here, where Greg gives us the skinny on a Waco property or building that you listeners asked about via social media. But first, it's the Small Business Spotlight, presented by American Bank.
Adjusting to office life is one of the toughest things for a young professional to overcome. Suddenly, you're stuck in a desk for hours on end, and when you do finally make it home after the workday, you're often too drained to go out and have fun. That's what happened with Aaron Bryant and Hunter Harlow, two Baylor geologists who realized that their time spent analyzing well logs and minerals was taking them away from their real passion, the outdoors and sharing it with others. In 2014, they started their own path, and they've been continuing on it ever since. I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, shining the small business spotlight on Sendero Provisions Co. Aaron, you were working as a geologist in Aztec, New Mexico when you got the idea for Sendero. How did this come about?
Really out of desperation. I was pulling long hours working out in the desert, which is something I did love. But I didn't ever see an end to it or, you know, be able to have enough time off with my current job to really be able to go and explore a lot of the things I wanted to explore where I was living and to do a lot of the river expeditions I had planned and, you know, been dreaming of. I just, you know, could never string together all the trips I really wanted to do in a year with a, you know, 2-week vacation time. So that's kind of where a lot of it developed from is, you know, if I really want to live the life I want to live, I've got to have my own business.
Here I am with Hunter Harlow at Sendero HQ, surrounded by hats and shirts. Hunter, where are all these products going to be going?
So they're going all over the place. We sell to, you know, every state. We've got customers all over. And, you know, last year alone, I think we sent out 50,000 hats all across the U.S. And these are getting packed up and shipped up out of our HQ right here in Sendero every single day.
I've been following Sendero for a while. I love the designs of the hats. I'm a big national parks guy myself. And I was thrilled and stunned, frankly, to see that you guys were here in Waco. Why do you have your company based here in Waco, and what good has that brought you?
Hunter and I are both Baylor graduates, so moving our home base to Waco seemed like a natural fit. We wanted to have, you know, our office warehouse location somewhere where we could, you know, develop a presence and had, you know, some past history with the town and being students here. Honestly, since we've left Baylor, there's been, you know, story after story of students coming back or just people in general developing business in Waco. So it seemed like a good time to, you know, get our foot in the door with the city and, you know, try to make an impact in Waco and provide a lot of the services and outlets for outdoor recreation that really haven't existed in Waco thus far.
What kind of growth has Sendero had since 2014?
Man, so a ton. We, just a year and a half ago, we were packing boxes up in our living room and put them out on our front porch. I used to put 60 boxes in plastic bags and set them out there for my personal mailman to come pick up. He hated me. And then that turned into 200-300 boxes and it wasn't sustainable. So we got this place here and we've been here since.
And where can people find Sendero products?
Man, so we're all over. We're here in Waco, so we sell stuff out of our warehouse. People come out here and shop our showroom, but we're mostly an e-commerce company, so everything we have is online. We're in the Bear Mountain in town and some other local places, but we're in like 50, 60 different stores across the U.S. right now, and we're building that and growing it every day, so trying to be everywhere, man.
And what do you want Sendero to be in the future?
Man, so we started as a hat company, and then we launched t-shirts. And this coming fall, we're going into more men's apparel, men's garments. So jackets, button-ups, pants, technical wear. We just launched a Kickstarter that was successful through crowdfunding. So bigger and better things, man.
Sendero is a Spanish word meaning path or trail, and charting one is the most daunting task for an entrepreneur. Thankfully for Waco and the outdoor goods industry, Aaron and Hunter forged one on their own, and you know they won't stop looking until they find that next perfect vista. I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, shining the small business spotlight on Sendero Provisions Co.
That was the Small Business Spotlight, presented by American Bank, with three convenient locations in Waco, including an expanded branch downtown at the corner of Franklin and 4th. Visit wacobusinessnews.com or find us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter at Waco Business News to watch the Small Business Spotlight video. Commercial real estate expert Greg Gleim is in studio for our monthly segment, What's Happening Here, where you submit an address of a property or building, and Greg gives you all the info you need to know. Greg, welcome to Downtown Depot.
It's good to be here again.
So Marnie in Waco says, I love going to the backyard, and I noticed a really cute building next door. It looks vacant. What's the deal? So this is a property at 519 South 8th Street next to the Backyard Bar and Grill, bar and stage, I should say. What's happening there, Greg?
You know, I looked into that, and that my understanding is it's under control by the Backyard, actually. I think they use it as their green room and maybe prep area for the bands before they go on stage. But similar to many other properties down there, there's just so much changing and evolving, and buildings that look vacant may not be vacant. There's just a lot of change right in that immediate area right now.
And so this building at 519 South 8th is right between the Backyard and Mama and Papa B's barbecue there on the corner. And yeah, when you drive by, it does look like it's vacant, but maybe they're playing it cool for the artists who are going to be hanging out there in between shows.
Yeah, you know, there's a couple other buildings in town that I know driving on the outside of it, you would never expect to see what you see walking in, and every single time it's a music studio. I mean, these studios, there's a couple buildings, and I guess that would be fairly similar. The artists go in, and it's kind of their back door entrance to prep and get ready for the music they're getting ready to put on.
Well, Marnie, it doesn't look like 519 South 8th is on the market for you to move your small business into, but she brings up a great point that area right around Magnolia has perked up a ton recently. What else is happening in that neighborhood?
It is the true silo Magnolia effect right there. We've got the Geyser Ice Plant. It was formerly the Ready Ice manufacturing facility that is for sale. It's had a bunch of work done on it, and the group that owns it has acquired a lot of land surrounding that, almost 3.5 acres, and we have a lot of interest in that right now. We have a lot of really neat uses that are looking at it, and I expect something to be done, or at least working, being under contract in the next couple weeks. We've got the Art Center just bought a building right over by that building as well. I don't know if you've seen that on 8th
Street.
Yeah,
that's right. Down there on 8th, the Art Center of Waco will be moving from McLennan Community College down there on 8th Street. I know, Greg, you can't speak to specifically what those tenants would be bringing, but give us an idea of some of the services that might be coming to Webster.
You know, there's a lot of interest from hotel groups.
Cool.
Anywhere ranging from small boutique-style hotels. We have a full-service hotel looking at the site right now. We've got restaurant uses looking, and so it's kind of a puzzle right now of putting the pieces together on a master plan, whole city block in downtown Waco.
Greg Double G Gleim, you can find him on Facebook. He comes here every month to discuss what's happening here. Find us, Waco Business News, on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Submit an address of a property or a building that you want to know about, and Greg will do the legwork and give you the info to know if I should make an investment here, should I get in touch with the property owner, should I call Greg? Maybe Greg can help me get in touch and we can get that building in our portfolio. So Greg, thank you so much for coming on Downtown Depot and telling us what's happening on 519 South 8th Street.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Dina Dwyer Owens is brand ambassador and board member of the Dwyer Group and kind enough to join me at the KWBU studio today. Dina, welcome to Downtown Depot.
Thank you, Austin. I'm blessed to be here.
So tell me about your Waco history, Dina.
Yeah, got here when I was a little girl, fourth grade, came from California. So coming from a school of, I don't know, 2,000 kids to little Bosqueville with about 15 kids in my class was actually an awesome experience. So came here as a young girl and have grown up and just love this community.
And what brought your family here?
So my father had followed the entertainment business from New York. So he actually had a nightclub on Long Island. He had the Smothers Brothers and Neil Diamond that actually performed there.
Whoa.
He then went on to manage a band called Steam that produced the first hit record for Na 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 Na, Hey, hey, hey. I won't sing for the audience because they'll say, shut her off. But that is what got him excited about the entertainment industry. So we moved to California. Raising six kids outside of L.A. wasn't a very good idea, he and my mother discovered. And so he went to a franchise show and found a company called Success Motivation Institute, became a distributor. And Paul Meyer, the founder of SMI, invited him to come to Waco, Texas to help lead one of his other divisions. And that's why we landed in Waco.
You stuck around in Waco throughout your youth and education. Fill me in on that part.
Yep. Went to Bosqueville before they had a junior high, so then we had to take the buses out to China Spring. Loved China Spring, and then was lucky enough to get into Baylor. I really wasn't smart enough. I was just lucky enough that President Herb Reynolds allowed me to come in for the first 6 weeks of summer school to prove myself. And so went to Baylor for a couple of years while I was working full-time for my father, and really wasn't having too much fun in either one of those things, and said to my father, something's got to give because don't seem to be excelling in either one of these. He says, why don't you take a semester off and come work right beside me full time for a semester and get your real estate license, which I did. And so Don Dwyer University became my university where I got my degree.
Wow.
But still love Baylor. I come and I speak for people like Mitch Newbert and Rachel Woods and just an amazing group of people in your business school.
What advice do you have for parents who realize, you know, my kid isn't really a classroom learner. He needs to be more tactile. She needs to be out in the field. How do you assuage maybe some of the sadness or trepidation these parents have when they look at these report cards and it's not showing straight A's?
Yeah. It's okay, parents. You know, don't freak out about it. And what I find is people need to pursue what it is that they love. And I happen to love the mission of Dwyer Group. And I didn't get it until I was about 23, standing beside my father at a big convention we had. Back then it was very small compared to today's. But I remember a franchisee coming up to my father to thank him for changing his life. And the man had tears in his eyes, and he was a big, brawny guy, and to say, I'm so appreciative for the opportunity you gave me to own my own business. Of course, he had to do all the work, this gentleman. But that fulfilled the mission that we have at Dwyer, to teach our principles and systems of both personal and business success so that all people we touch live happier and more successful lives. So parents, you know, let your kids pursue their passion. They'll do much better. They'll be happier. And in our case, we're thrilled to have folks who want to grow up in the trades because those are the people who end up either working for or owning our franchises. And we have a great group of franchisees, 3,200 of them now.
Wow. So the Dwyer Group was founded in 1981. And just recently was sold to an investment group, the Harvest Partners. What does the new life in Dwyer Group with this Harvest Partners partnership, what does that change for the Dwyer Group here in Waco for the service verticals that you have, brands like Mr. Reuter, Mr. Electric, Glass Doctor, and others?
Yeah, I think it's a wonderful opportunity. This private equity group, Harvest, has been around for 35 years, so they've got a lot of experience in helping businesses our size move to the next level. So what that means is opportunity. Anytime you have a private equity partner who really loves what we do, they're going to invest in the business, and that can be investing in the existing technologies that we need to expand upon, existing in our operations, making them better so we provide even greater support to our franchisees. And with that comes growth, and that means more jobs coming to Waco in the area.
I'm sure you've had numerous opportunities to bring in a big financial partner like Harvest over the years. What were you looking for in a partner, and what's an important role for a partner and a provider to play?
Well, what a great question. So we were publicly traded. My father took the company public in 93, and then he died of a sudden heart attack at the age of 60 in 1994, just about a year later. And if he were here, he would tease that going public killed him because it took some of the control away, and he loved control. But the one thing that we found that we really were too small to be publicly traded. We were traded on NASDAQ.
Okay.
And we're frustrated with the fact that we were growing our earnings, but we weren't getting the appreciation in the stock value. So in 2003, a company called Riverside, a private equity group, took us from public to private, made a great investment in acquiring a business that was a competitor. And we took a competitor out of the marketplace for our Glass Doctor business, and really helped us with areas of the business we didn't have expertise. You know, they brought in some brain trust that we just didn't have. So we had a great experience with Riverside. And the thing that we did to check them out was I called every single company that they had done business with up to that point, because we care so much about our relationships with our employees and our franchisees. that it doesn't matter what a company has to offer in way of money. It needs to be what's best for the business culturally. We're really grounded in our values at Dwyer Group, and it's important that we team up with partners who we believe are aligned with those values.
When you look back on the 35-year history of the Dwyer Group, what are the major inflection points that you see? So 1981 was the founding. I suppose going public was another major inflection point. What are some more of those?
Yeah, right from the get-go, our founder had the vision of having a collection of franchise companies serving the same customer base. So he wanted you, Austin, who's the father of a very beautiful little girl named Stevie, he wanted you and your wife to have the opportunity to be able to call upon all of our service businesses. Almost anything you need done in your home, you could count on a Dwyer Group brand to take care of it. Now, over the years, it's taken us 37 years to get there. And a big thank goes out to Mike Biddle, our CEO, and our amazing growth team and every single one of our associates who help make this a reality. And, of course, our franchisees who deliver the service. So that vision being fulfilled has been incredible. We just launched our new brand called Neighborly, which is a community of home service experts. So that was launched about a year ago. But that vision was formed way back in the 80s. And again, thanks to Mike Biddle, our CEO, for making sure that we fulfilled that vision. So along the way, we either acquired or started up franchise businesses to serve the consumer in all those different areas of their home where they need services, and small businesses as well. So we acquired businesses, we started up businesses, we went from, as we said, public to private, and then we actually teamed up with another private equity group once Riverside had spent the first kind of 7 years helping us take the business to the next level. PE firms typically will then sell and you get a return on their investment and move on to another investment. So we had a great run with a company called TCP, and then Riverside came back and reacquired us in 2014, just about 3 years after they sold us. They loved the culture. They loved the leadership team. They knew that the leadership team was passionate about what we do, and they loved the opportunity that the franchise business gives. You can never not grow, right? When you've got all these small business owners, they have an opportunity, each one of them, to grow their businesses to something bigger and better than what it is today.
I heard a recent interview that you did with John Lee Dumas on the Entrepreneurs on Fire podcast, which is amazing. If you have not already subscribed, check that out. But you had mentioned with Mike Bidwell, the CEO, that the company had grown nearly 100% in the last 3 to 4 years. And this is for a company that's been around for 30 plus. To what do you attribute that really, intense growth so recently?
I would say leadership with values. So we've created this amazing foundation of being a company that can be trusted. And we're not perfect. So I will do a disclaimer. We are not a perfect company. We're a company that strives to live up to these standards that we've set for ourselves. And because of that, we're a better company, and every day trying to be better. So we attract people who care about our values. And I love it that the millennials even love the idea of having clearly stated values, because they want to be part of something special. And those values are very clear and they're very good. That has created these amazing relationships. So not only do we attract great employees, we attract great franchisees who also believe in the values. And then we get the opportunity to team up with wonderful private equity partners and then acquire businesses that we'd like to own because we think culturally they're a great fit for us. So we've grown like crazy the last 4 years. Much of that was through acquisitions of companies we wanted to own and bring under our umbrella, and they trusted us. So we were a good home for their franchisees.
What can you describe a typical Dwyer Group company? Like what do you look for when you're going through that acquisition idea and figuring out, okay, should we make a play for this? Should we leave it be?
Good question. It's got to be a company that complements our menu of services. So again, something that is a category in the home that we don't currently cover. So, we've got Mr. Appliance, we've got the grounds guys, we've got Molly Maid, we've got Mr. Handyman. So if you think about all the verticals, we're in 13 different service verticals, it's got to be complementary to those verticals. So something we don't yet do in the home. It's got to be a company that culturally is aligned. It'd be very difficult for us to buy a company that didn't agree with our values.
You're hearing from Dina Dwyer Owens, brand ambassador and board member of the Dwyer Group. I discussed Neighborly when it was first launched about a year ago, spoke with CEO Mike Bidwell. What have been your takeaways from the last year of running Neighborly?
Yeah, well, the customers are thrilled. So we haven't even really gone out and marketed Neighborly on an external basis because we've got about 3 million existing customers that are using at least one of our brands. And now they know we have 2 brands, 3 brands, 4 brands, all these brands that can serve them in their home that they can trust that are licensed professionals. So it's just been a wonderful opportunity to help our franchisees grow their businesses and to help the consumer take advantage of some other great brands in their communities.
Is every Dwyer Group service vertical a part of Neighborly?
Yes, here in the U.S. and Canada.
Okay.
We're not yet international.
Okay. And are there potentially plans to go international with that? Like, has it been well received enough that this is something people need in every city?
Oh, it's a matter of time. We need to get more scale internationally in order to be able to launch it. So, you know, here in the U.S., we've got about 2,500 franchisees that can serve the customer. And that's a good level.
We'll talk about your relationship with the franchisees here in a minute when we discuss your values. But just first and foremost, how do you decide what makes a good franchisee? And how do you determine whether to move forward with someone or not?
Yeah, great question, Austin. So yesterday we just had basic training with all of our new franchisees that are in for this month's training. And we really look for people that appreciate the value of a system. Because what is a franchise company anyways? What we do is we take what's most important in a business and we create systems around those items so that they can be replicated. So somebody can come in and take those systems, be trained to them, and then train their employees to those systems so that they can have success running whatever the brand might be, Mr. Electric. So we look for people who get the importance of systems. And yes, entrepreneurial in many ways, but not so entrepreneurial that they've got to create their own stuff. That's not who we're looking for. We're looking for people, and we've got lots of white space, believe it or not. Even with 3,200 franchises, we have lots of white space, lots of opportunity to bring new franchisees on. But we want people who really appreciate the value of systems and support. Business is tough today. It's tough to be out there by yourself. It's complex. Just the idea of social media and deciding what do you do social media-wise, you know, how do you make decisions on where you're going to spend your money and your time promoting your business. We also want to have franchisees who we believe are aligned with our values. It's critical that they really do believe in what we believe, because that's the experience we want to create for the customer. And if we have time, I'd love to talk about the Net Promoter Score and how we measure the satisfaction ratings of our customer experience.
Yeah, please. Let's talk about that right now.
Yeah. And I don't know if your listeners are familiar with Net Promoter Score, but it's really the ultimate question when you think about customer satisfaction. So, Austin, if you were one of our customers, we would ask you, how likely are you to refer us to a friend or family member? And hopefully, you'll say very likely, like give us a 10 on that, and then you'd send us to all your friends and family. So if you think about Net Promoter Score, it's not a typical 1 out of 100. It's like a negative 100 scale to a positive 100. And great companies like Amazon, Apple, Southwest Airlines, they rate about a 66, 67 Net Promoter Score.
Okay.
Our franchisees who are in the service industry, remember, they're hiring you to do stuff you really don't want to spend money on. They average a 75 Net Promoter Score.
Wow.
Significantly above those businesses that you would think have great customer service. And if you think about a high-end department store like Nordstrom's, they rate about an 80. So our franchisees collectively are doing a wonderful job delivering the services and leading with a code of values.
And the way that you translate those values to your employees, two great resources are two books that you've written, one, Live Rich, and the second, Values, Inc. Does every new franchisee get two of these books and you tell them to read it back and forth and then they know the playbook?
Not only does every new franchisee get the books, but they actually get to sit through a session that I teach on the importance of the code of values. Again, just yesterday, we had a basic training course that we launched. And in the afternoon, I spend about 2.5 hours with all the new franchisees and all the new associates that are on the Waco campus. And I spend a good 45 minutes talking about the history of the values and the importance of the franchisees leading with the values. And they've already heard a lot about the values before they make it to basic training. And they've mostly made a decision to join our company because they believe in what we believe.
The acronym RICH, it stands for?
Respect, Integrity, Customer Focus, and Having Fun in the Process.
And unpack that a little bit
yeah.
for me.
So it's interesting. There are so many organizations that have clearly written values or what they call a code of ethics. Unfortunately, so many of them have not taken it to the level of implementation. And it's not because they're not good leaders, I don't think. I think it's because they don't know how. So what we've done is we've actually said, look, our values are rich and it's not about money. At the end of the day, we are in business to make money, but it's really about how we treat people. So we said we need to operationalize the values. Yes, respect, integrity, customer focus, and having fun are the core areas. But below each one of those areas, we have very clearly written values statements. For example, under respect, it would be treating others as we'd like to be treated. Or as I said earlier, speaking calmly and respectfully without profanity or sarcasm. So with each one of those categories, we have very clearly written behavior statements, value statements, accountability statements, whatever you want to think of them as. It gives our employees and our franchisees something very specific to measure themselves to. And so we've created a system around this so that it's in our business every day, day in and day out. So anytime there's a meeting of three or more people, Austin, we take a deep breath at the beginning of the meeting and we will focus on the values. It may be one value. It may be all 15 values that we review. It may be that we're highlighting a team member who's just gotten great feedback on really excelling in one of the values. Or it may be that we review our value statement, which we kind of call the Friday version. It's a little shorter version.
I'll get you out of here on this. You have given lots of addresses to business schools and podcasts and other TV the Celebrity Apprentice that you were on.
Oh, actually, Undercover Boss.
Oh, Undercover Boss, excuse me, not Celebrity Apprentice. And, I mean, you have a wide range of skills and interests. But if you had to distill all of the great advice you've been given down to something that we would want to share with our listeners here in McLennan County who maybe are interested in either franchising or potentially going out on their own and they realize, hey, I don't really go by the playbook. I want to kind of write my own. What would be your suggestions to those people?
Yeah, two things. One is understand your values, your personal values, what's most important in your life. And if you need help with that, please feel free to visit my DinaDwyerOwens.com website. And I've got a free Create Your Culture workbook. That could be used for an individual. It could be used for a family. It could be used for an organization, for-profit or not-for-profit. Get clarity about what's important to you in your life, values-wise. And then find an organization, if you're looking to work for somebody else, that is aligned with those values. Don't go to work for a company that is not aligned with your values because you will be so frustrated and life's too short. For those thinking about getting their own business, if you've not been in business already, or maybe you haven't, you're like, this is hard. This is really hard. I'd say consider franchising. Of course I would say that because I think that running a business, and there's so many industries that are covered in franchising. I think there's now 550 industries that represent franchising, from hair salons, of course, to Mr. Reuter Plumbing. There's so many choices that that's a great way to get out there and learn business, because the franchisor will teach you the systems for success in that particular business niche, whatever it might be. You'll get the support that business owners need, the coaching and the support. You'll understand really how to price properly, because so many people don't do very good managing their finances. Those businesses can also help market. So one of the big things that we do, Neighborly is just one part of what we do for our franchisees, but there's lots of marketing and advertising expertise that we help the franchisees with. So there's just all these things that are so important to running a successful business. I'd say consider franchising. Check it out.
Dina Dwyer Owens, leading with values at the Dwyer Group. She's their brand ambassador and board member, and sweet enough to stop by Downtown Depot this morning. Thank you so much for sharing with us.
Thank you so much, Austin. Keep up the good work.
That's our show for today, but as always, you can stay in touch between episodes by following Waco Business News on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Thanks to Aaron Bryant and Hunter Harlow at Sendero Provisions Co., American Bank, Greg Gleim, Dina Dwyer Owens, and you for tuning in and sharing this episode with your friends on Apple Podcasts, NPR One, or the excellent KWBU app. I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, and you've been listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business.